And it's part of you, some of you, yeah. Sometimes you want to hear it, sometimes you don't.
Yeah. Today I want to hear it. So lay it on me.
All right. We're going to be on page 228, and I really appreciate you being here. Thank you. Thank you. There was paragraph 3 on page 228. It says, you do not want the world. You do not want the world. The only part of that, the only thing of value in the world is whatever part of the world you look upon with love. The only thing that's valuable in your world is the thing that you look at with love in your world. This gives it the only reality it will ever have. So everything in your world is only as real as you love it.
Wow.
Everything in your world will only be as real as you love it. Its value is not in itself, but your value is in you. As self-value comes from self-extension, so does perception of self-value come from the extension of loving thoughts outward. Make the world real unto yourself. For the real world is the gift of the Holy Spirit. The real world is the gift of the loving mind. And so the real world belongs to you. Okay, the only thing of value in my world right now is whatever I look at with love, and it's only going to be as real as I look at you with love. You're only going to be as valuable to me as I love you. You're only as real to me as I love you. Your value is inside of you. So all the value that you're looking for outside yourself, that value is found inside yourself. But the only way you can really see your self-value is from extending yourself. So if you want to value yourself, then you must extend yourself to know the value you have inside of you. And to perceive your value, you have to extend loving thoughts outward. My value is in me. I'm not going to know it until I do some extending, really. But what I have to extend is loving thoughts outward. Then I perceive how valuable I am. So if I'm giving you freeing thoughts, supportive thoughts, nurturing thoughts, peaceful thoughts, safe thoughts, encouraging thoughts, then I'm extending loving thoughts outward. So I will perceive my value, because there's no way I can keep telling you the beautiful truth about yourself and not value me more.
Amen.
Did you hear me?
Yeah.
I know. It makes so much sense. So that was what that paragraph said. Any questions about that? So if I want to know my value, what do I need to do? What do I need to extend out? Some loving thoughts. You know, not too low down dog. Okay. I sure do wish you'd change. Then I'd be happy. That's not a loving thought. Okay. So the more I criticize people, the more I will not recognize my value, and the more unreal the things in my world will appear to be to me. So people, would you say then that people who are walking around not valuing themselves are not extending loving thoughts out enough? Okay. If people that you see in a world that they see is unreal and nothing they can depend on, could that possibly be because they're not loving what's in their world? So that explains everybody's problems, right? Everybody clear?
Yes.
Okay, everybody clear on why you're missing whatever you think you're missing? Whatever you think isn't there, why it's not there? I'll answer it again. Anybody need me to answer it again? Anybody need me to answer it again?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Okay. Thank you. The only thing of value in your reality is whatever the thing is in your reality that you look at with love. It will not be any realer than your love for it. But we tend to not want to give the love until the thing proves its love to us first. But that's not me extending, that's me trying to get. And it said I would perceive my value when I gave. It didn't say I would perceive my value when I tried to get. Then it said I could make the world real to myself, because the real world is the gift of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit is the part of you that's still in touch with the Creator, with love, with the truth. So the Holy Spirit is your real self. That's what's so deep. The Holy Spirit is really your real self. The loving part of you that's really not afraid. That's the Holy Spirit. That's the part of you that's in touch with what created us, that's all love. It can give you a world that's real. Your loving mind can give you the things that your fearful mind works for.
Huh. Wow.
It's only the fearful mind that has to work. Because the fearful mind thinks it's alone. And when the mind thinks it's alone, it thinks it has to do it by itself. So then it has to go out and get it. A loving man is a man that already perceives that it deserves the best that life has to offer. So it's just drawn to it. Sounds like a fairy tale, doesn't it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I want to believe it.
What's cool about this fairy tale is that it's true. See, the other fairy tales aren't. This is a fairy tale that relates to the truth, because the truth is you are so loving and so lovable that you deserve to have everything that you need drawn to you. That is the truth. And I'm going to say it every class you ever come to, and I don't care whether you believe me, because it's the truth. I would only care if your believing made it true.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Any questions, any comments before I go to the next paragraph? Okay, I'd like to get you to just breathe with me just one minute. Correction is for all who cannot see. Who needs to be corrected? Those who are blind, who can't see. Okay? To open the eyes of the blind is your right mind's mission. So instead of saying Holy Spirit, I'm going to say what the Course in Miracles says it means. Your loving right mind. So let's agree that we have a truth mind, but we might not know how to get in contact with it all the time. So when I say Holy Spirit, I'm talking about your right mind. So when I say to open the eyes of the blind is your right mind's mission, for your right mind knows that you have not lost your vision, Holy Spirit knows that you are asleep. You notice when you're asleep, you can see, but what you're not seeing because your eyes are closed. Would we agree?
Yeah.
So you haven't lost the ability to see at night. You're just asleep. So let me say that to you. You have not lost the ability to see. You are just asleep.
Yeah.
See the difference? It says that your right mind, the Spirit in you, the Holy Spirit would awaken them. That's you and me, right? So let's make it personal. Holy Spirit would awaken you from the sleep of forgetting to the remembering of God. I am going to wake you up because you are having a sleep that you've forgotten that love and happiness is true for you all the time. That's God. So I'm giving you a Course in Miracles definitions of God. God is perfect happiness. So your real self's eyes are open. That's what Course calls the Christ. The Christ in you is nothing but that real you that loves, that doesn't have to go to a class to learn how to love, because it is love. We are learning that we are love so that we can let love do its thing without our interference. That's what the study is about. You will never learn yourself into being a loving person. Haven't you noticed? Haven't you noticed?
Yeah.
Okay. We are not unconditionally loving people. You might love a few people, provided they act right. But the unconditional love of the universe has not occurred. Can we agree? Okay. So we are learning what we already are, but have forgotten about it. Just like when you go to sleep at night, you forget who you are while you're dreaming you're someone else. But you're still the same person that went to sleep while you were dreaming you were a starship fighter. So your fantasy didn't affect your reality. It's just that your eyes were closed, and so you were seeing things you made up in your sleep. You are asleep and your eyes are closed, and you are seeing things in your sleep that don't reflect the truth about you. The truth about you is that you are perfect, whole, complete, and loving. That's the truth. The dream about you that you're having is all the things you want to tell me that keep that from being true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay? Are you still with me?
Yeah.
See, I'm telling you what the Course says you really are, and you're telling me what you think you are. Mm-hmm. And that's what you're defeating, because that's all you know. And without that, you don't think you know anything, which you don't, according to the Course. Not personal opinion. I know personally you're all brilliant. But I don't know everything, and I won't admit that to you all. I don't know everything, and what I know might not be all there is to know. I just want to feel so good to tell you all that truth. That keeps me teachable. So, he says, now this is really abstract, but it's not. It's really awesome. It's really saying, it says, Christ's eyes are open and he will look upon whatever you see with love if you accept his vision as mine. So your real self, its eyes are open and it can look on whatever you see with love. So there is a real you that can look at everything you see with nothing but love and freedom. There is a real you that can look at everything you see with nothing but love and freedom. If, and that's the big one, right? Those ifs is what, that's what gets us, isn't it? It says, if you accept love's vision as your vision, if you accept the vision of the truth as your vision, then the part of you that knows the truth can look on everything you see with love. All you have to do is accept that my vision is love. In other words, I'm going to say my real vision is a loving vision. When I really see things correctly, I'll be seeing things with abundance, I'll be seeing it with freedom, and I'll be seeing it with love. When I really see correctly, I will be seeing with love. He says, if you are willing to do that, then the real self in you can start looking at everything in your life that's making you miserable and show you how to look on it in total freedom, total peace, and love. As a matter of fact, you will see it that way. What do I have to do that? I just shared, and I'm going to share it for myself. What I need to do is accept that I have a loving way of seeing things, even if I don't use it. I have a loving way of seeing things, even if I don't use it. And if I'm willing to do that, then what's loving in me can start looking at everything around me with love. And if I look at everything around me with love, then it will become real to me and valuable to me. If it becomes real and valuable to me, I'll automatically take care of it and appreciate it and nurture it, because I do that with things that I value, that I love. So you don't have to make me take care of you if I love you. It comes natural. And so does the power and the love to heal you also come with the love, so it won't be no burden. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I think it's good news. Some people look like they want to shoot me, but I think it's good news. So the Holy Spirit, your real self, keeps the vision of Christ, your real self, for every child of God who sleeps. So your real self never forgets who you are, even while you're asleep in your fear and asleep in your conflict. In the sight of your real self, in the sight of something that loves you, you are perfect And in the sight of something that loves you, you are perfect. So if I love you and I'm looking at you, you're perfect to me. You're whole to me. You're complete to me. There's nothing missing. There's nothing that I'm telling you you need to fix. If I love you, because I don't see no flaws to fix. So you can't love me and see my flaws. You can see your flaws and my flaws, and we can both heal our flaws together.
Yeah.
You can see your flaws and my flaws, and we can all join together to help heal each other's flaws, because you can't be in a perfect loving mind and see something wrong with me. Because then you'll be a perfect loving mind seeing imperfection. Don't go together.
No.
So soon as you see Earl's problem, that's fine. Earl might have one at the level of the ego, but you better darn sure tack you on to that same problem. Earl is so self-doubt, when he learned how to just be quiet when he talks. Why don't you learn how to shut up too? Then you would have just said what you just said. You already talk too much. So it's not me that needs to shut up, you need to shut up.
Wow.
And Earl needs to shut up. Earl got to tack Earl onto it too. If I leave Earl out, Earl won't get healed. See, if I leave me out, I can't be healed. I got to include me in the circle of atonement, the circle of healing. I don't want to be special and left outside the circle, pointing to everybody else with the problem, out here by myself, deceiving myself that I'm different, which means I got the same problem everybody else has, but now I'm dealing with it alone, because I think everybody else has it. It's my problem too, but I think everybody else has it, so therefore I exclude myself from everybody else and have to deal with the same thing everybody else dealing with, but by myself. That's called handling your problems alone. That's what it comes from. It comes from thinking you're different from the people you're criticizing, putting yourself outside of the circle, needing the same healing they do, but all by yourself. And then you're in denial about having it. So that makes it doubly hard for you to get healed, because you don't even think you got the problem that you're seeing. Because it makes you feel special when you think you're better than others. Because that's how fearful people make themselves feel special. It's by judging and condemning and bringing somebody else down. So a fearful mind has to judge to make itself feel like it's really about something. Because it's not. And they ought to recognize it because nobody's acknowledging them. That's why they're mad. But it's the reason why they're not acknowledging. You aren't.
Yeah, right.
You're waiting for them to do it first. That's what this is saying. When I say you, I'm not talking about you. You know what I'm saying? Generic you. I'm just saying you. I'm in the you too. So when I say you, you know what I'm saying? I always want to be famous. I'm in you too. Anyway. Forgive my jokes. You go to God. The ultimate test. Ready? Now take a breath. I know what I'm saying stuff is hardcore, straight up, and a part of you know it's like, because we know it's the truth, but you're still innocent, you're not guilty. Nothing that I'm saying is to condemn you, it's just the Spirit is trying to let us know how we're misperceiving so that we can start perceiving correctly. There's no judgment behind what I'm saying. No, you know why? Because all of us do it sometime or another, so therefore don't feel guilty like you do from anybody else in the room. I guarantee you there's nobody in this room nicer than you. And don't let that depress you.
Thank you.
Or for some people, you're excited. Like, oh, there's nobody here nicer than me. Well, there's some cool people. You know, I was at a gathering just yesterday. I said the same thing. I didn't know most of the people there, but I knew from the person that we were all there to see off on an incredible trip that everybody in the room, I told the few strangers, I said, well, you grandfathered in. I know you cool because you know her. So I guess so. We cool. Maybe just you too. We like instant joining. You see what I mean? Wow. Some people, you know, you couldn't even be hanging. You know that nobody's hanging around them that wouldn't be cool.
Yeah.
Because you know they're so cool. You don't know people like that. They're coming. Some people you avoid them. They friends just because you know them.
If you're a friend of him, watch the wallet.
So you know everybody in this room cool. I'm cool. Y'all cool. We all cool. But we're asleep to our coolness. Sometimes we forget how cool we are because we see things about ourselves in our sleep that's not the truth about us. It's like you seeing yourself as a knight in shining armor wouldn't be the truth about you in terms of your physical reality right now. But you know in a dream, you can see it any way you want to. In a dream, you can see it any way you want to. In a dream, anything can happen at any time unpredictably. Sounds like my life. Could my life be a dream at another level of reality? And if that's true, if anything could happen in a dream, then that means my life could instantly change from something that upsets me and makes me unhappy to something that brings me ecstatic joy and bliss. That could happen all of a sudden, unexpectedly, also, if it's a dream. It wouldn't have to be a long, drawn-out process. You could have your life change overnight for the better. And the crowd roared with approval. Okay. Don't you take my punishment away. If you take my punishment away, you Satan. That's what you are. You Satan in a black body. Yeah. I'm glad your hair grown so I can see your horns grow. So I can make my choice. Now, anybody that would tell me I deserve to be happy all the time and that my life could change for the better in a moment is a cult leader. Then it goes on to the next sentence. It says, your real self, it will show you the real world because God gave you heaven. Heaven is nothing but perfect joy. So what created you gave you perfect joy, and your real self will show you the world of perfect joy. Through him, your Father calls his Son to remember. Through your loving self, your Creator calls you to remember. Through your loving self, your Creator calls you to remember. The awakening of his Son, the awakening of you, hello, the awakening of you begins with your investment in the real world. And so by investing in the real world, by investing in your real peace, by investing in your real happiness, you will learn to reinvest in yourself by reinvesting in your real world. So you will begin to reinvest in yourself and wake yourself up when you start investing in the things you love. And the Course says investing means insisting. So you will wake up when you insist on being treated right. You will wake up when you insist on love. You will wake up when you insist on peace. You will wake up when you insist on abundance. You will wake up when you insist on happiness, which is reinvesting in yourself. You are reinvesting in yourself when you start to do things that bring you joy. You are reinvesting in yourself when you start to do things that bring you joy. You are reinvesting in yourself when you start to do things that you enjoy. You are reinvesting in yourself when you are doing things that you enjoy in happiness and peace. You are reinvesting in yourself. You are investing in yourself and waking yourself up. You know, it's like a person having a dream that they're in a house that's on fire. One person tries to call the fire department to try to get them there in time enough to stop the fire from burning in my dream. The other part of me just wakes up and realizes I'm in my bed, in my apartment, and nothing's on fire. We're just like the person in the dream that's trying to call the fire department in the dream and hope they'll get there in time and come to a black neighborhood. And then there's another part of me that goes, man, I had a dream that I was in a burning building. Let me get up now and go to the park, just like you do in the morning. So do you want to wake up from your problems and spend all your time asleep trying to figure out how to solve them?
I want to wake up.
I don't know. If I wake up, it means I won't be in the dream. And there's some things about the dream I really want to keep going. I'd stay in that burning building if they just can save my flat screen TV. Just throwing some questions out. We don't expect an answer. Do you want to wake up from your problems, or do you want to keep trying to figure out how they are to be solved by your mind that doesn't even know what to do?
Wake up!
Okay, all right. Okay. Remember, you are in a universe of free will. Let me explain that. That means things don't happen unless you want them to. So as long as you're reluctant to ask for your freedom will be reluctant to come to you. So you can't go, if you feel like your willingness is really, really little, the way you get beyond that, if you feel like your willingness is very small and your faith is very small, the way you get beyond that so that you can still have 100% willingness is realizing that your Holy Spirit will take up the slack of whatever is missing. If you got 1% faith, your Holy Spirit mind, your right mind, will take up the other 99% so that your desire can be
100%. Cool. That's good, man.
Everybody understand that concept?
Yeah.
Whatever it is I'm lacking, my God self will make up for that so that I can be 100% devoted to what I want. But just to take that attitude is me opening my mind to a higher self to even get it. And that's why it would be different from what you've done in the past. Like in the past, you might say, well, I had 1% willingness, how come spirit didn't take up the other 99% the other times? Well, you weren't looking at it this way the other times. Is that true?
Yeah.
You weren't saying my higher self, my greater self, my divine self can take up the 99%. You just had 1% faith. With 99% atheism. You know. And all an atheist is, according to the Course, is simply someone who believes they are alone. A martyr is somebody that believes that happiness or God demands sacrifice. So a martyr thinks for every little bit of joy that they have, they got to suffer some kind of pain and suffering. Right? And the atheist has got all out here on themselves, by themselves, trying to get it done on their own through their own wits. That's the atheist. Now, most people think atheist means, I don't believe in God. Atheist is, I think I'm alone. Then my ego said, well, you ought to feel guilty about that. You're atheist. You know, because the ego thinks the only solution to anything is guilt. Yeah, so the part of me that doesn't love me, I don't care what I do, it just says, well, just hurt yourself about that. Feel bad about that. Then things will go better. Feel bad about that. Then things will feel better. Then feel even worse about that. Things will feel a whole lot better after you feel a whole lot worse. That's what the insane mind tells us all the time. That the solution, like when we hear truth, it says feel bad about that. Being told that if you think you're alone, you're an atheist, then get all kind of resistance about that. Rather than going, oh, but I'm not alone, and I want to recognize I'm not alone. Okay, then the Course says, okay, I'll tell you how you can recognize you're not alone. See how the answers keep coming? This is how. You recognize you're not alone. But see, my own ego doesn't want me to say a lot of this stuff. My own ego says, you know, sometimes I'm amazed when I'm standing up here. My hands don't go. There's a part of me that wants me dead. You know how I know? Because I'm gonna die if I don't change my mind. I try as often as I can.
So what was it?
That was so honored.
So many people stepped in similar. Including me. I don't even know what I was saying. What was I saying?
It's a party when you're not alone.
Thank you. But I'm not alone, so she remembered for me.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
That's the Holy Spirit. You just saw an example of the Holy Spirit working through a person.
Mm-hmm.
That was a living demonstration of what I'm talking about. That's the way it works. When you're in the real world, when you forget, somebody else remembers for you. You forget how loving and lovable you are, somebody remembers that you're not what you think you really are, or as bad as you think you really are. But if you are alone, where's the person to remind you?
Nowhere.
That's why when you're most afraid is when you need to extend and come to a class or go to a group or whatever. But that's when people want to retreat, because they just want to look good. So they don't want people to see them when they're looking like crap. They want to come to the class happy. Which is great, because then that shows each of us what we're striving for.
Mm-hmm.
So come when you're happy. But also when you're not happy, come unhappy and don't try to act happy.
Mm-hmm.
You need a safe place to be unhappy. Without everybody trying to fix you. Sometimes, you know, it's like when somebody tells me they're upset, the first thing I try to say is that go ahead and feel your feelings. I don't try to tell them, don't. Feel safe to feel sad around me. I realize that you're not really what you think you are while you've forgotten. Go ahead, get it out, because when you get it out, it'll go. When you hide it, it'll stay. You want to keep hating somebody forever? Keep not admitting to yourself that you hate them, because you're trying to be spiritual.
Does that work the same way if you love them and you keep trying to say no?
If you love somebody and you don't express the love that you feel for them, you forget you have the love.
That was a serious question, guys.
But for real, I say it again, unexpressed love is forgotten love. 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 Oh, you know I love you. Why should I say I love you? You know I love you because I'm here, Aina. I wouldn't be here if I didn't love you, would I? So the person hasn't expressed their love so long that they've forgotten that they love you themselves. And then they're wondering why you're there, too. You ever be with somebody and all of a sudden you look at them and you go, why are we here? Why are you here? Why am I here? Why are we here? And then there's some people you look at and you're like, oh, I'm glad I'm here. I'm so glad I'm here. I wish I could be here more, longer, closer, tighter, better. I'm so glad I am with you. So that's an example of one person that's real to you and another person that's unreal to you. And you want to be in a world full of real, that's what we mean by real people. Real people are the ones you care about. Unreal people are the ones you don't. That's why we don't do anything generally for people we don't care about, because they're not real to us.
Wow.
Oh, that person drove off the cliff yesterday. Wow, that's awesome. Put on Jerry Seinfeld. Okay. Is that us? Yeah. Because that person wasn't real to me. I don't care about them personally. I don't know them personally. Nothing is real to me except what I love. Does it mean that person wasn't real? No. They were not real to me.
That's so good.
So if you can learn how to look at what you call tragedies and things that happen to people that you don't know in a loving, compassionate way, which is, you know, that's a spiritual being. I wish you love on your journey. You're a powerful being, or whatever. You just take a minute to honor that being, if you can. Then you are creating a world where you become real. And the realer you become in your world, the more people recognize you and they love you and they treat you right because they recognize you. You're not invisible. They see you. Like this movie, The Celestine Prophecy, that's out right now. You can go see down to Stars. And there's some great stuff in the movie. But just one thing I'm going to share. And it's something I believe from the bottom of my heart because I've seen it happen. Some people were searching for this group of people to kill them. But the group of people were told by their inner guidance as part of this powerful prophecy to focus in on the beauty of everything around them that was from within. And they had developed the ability to do this. So they stopped in the middle of it and they just started focusing in on the beauty that was around them. They said they're in the jungle. Soldiers coming to get them. They focusing on the beauty of the jungle. This makes tears go up my... And when they got into the vibration of love, because they were focusing in on it, their vibration shifted, and the soldiers walked right past them like this, and didn't even see them. One person started to become afraid while they were looking at things with love that was protecting them and making them invisible. And they kept telling them, focus in on love. And they knew that if he went to the fear vibration, it was going to lower his vibration to the same level as the people who wanted to kill him, and all of a sudden he would become visible to them. And he did. Now, it had a happy ending. But that... I just want to
get that clear. I can see some real tragic looks on people's faces.
In that vibration of love where everything is going great in our life, we get into fear, and all of a sudden we're in a world where it looks like all the problems are showing up in the people. It's the exact same principle. That's why when you're in a love, peaceful space, it's no accident that things are going great on the day you feel great, because you're in the love vibration. Then you tell yourself something like it might not last, or what's going to happen, or something happened in the past. You lower your vibration, and now your boss is on your case. Same principle. Now the Course is saying there is a part of you that is capable of focusing on the beauty for you until you can see it for yourself and take you into that protected vibration, even if you don't know how to do it. Like a mother grabbing up her child and protecting her child when her child can't protect itself. You can be protected the same way. But if you pretend you're an orphan, you won't recognize your mama. Sometimes God be on the roll through me, don't God? Because it's so not me. I'm crazier than you. That's why I have a room full of teachers, and you just have me.
That's scary.
I love it how the truth puts your ego totally in perspective. You don't have to worry about your ego taking over when you start to see the truth, because you realize you're equal to everybody. If you're my teachers and I'm your teacher, and I got more teachers in front of me than you got in front of you, it's obvious who's the one is the defective learner. That's why I'm so dedicated, because I want to learn so much. And a dedicated teacher is a teacher that knows they need to learn. That's where the excitement and the enthusiasm come out. That's where you have the most excitement about something you're still trying to learn, rather than something you know that you think you're giving it to somebody else who don't have it. That's how you know your true calling, because it excites you just to keep learning your function, because your function is so cool. So you be excited. That's why 25 years later I can stand in front of this book after reading it 93 times and be so excited, because I've had 93 times the joy, 93 times the safety, 93 times the pleasure that I had when I first picked the book up. Yeah. People say, why are you still studying after all these years? And I, well, why are you still breathing after all these years? if one breath will do it, you should have stopped years ago. You know, if telling yourself the truth one time gets it, you know, that's what people do. They have said the truth one time and expect their whole life to change and say the truth don't work. This is like me breathing last Thursday and wonder why I'm at a funeral today. If you don't continue to give yourself the truth, you know, you're going to die.
Yeah.
It's just that simple. You can't do it once every now and then, let a truth cross your mind, and then spend all the rest of your time thinking thoughts of death and fear and anger, resentment and worry, and then wonder why you see a world of worry and upset and see so little of the world of love. It's what you concentrate all the time on. It's what you see. But one loving thought is more powerful than thousands of negative, fearful thoughts. So if there's just one thing you love, you're going a long way toward dispelling everything that causes you pain. If there's just one thing you love.
Yeah. Woo.
Just one. And even better than that, if you can take it, I know it's hard. I know sometimes y'all might be about to die. I know it might be hard. But there is something that sees you with love, even when you don't love yourself, and will give you what you deserve, even when you think you don't deserve it, because you thinking you don't deserve it doesn't mean you don't deserve it. So you can receive it anyway, no matter what you think your sins and guilts are. You can receive love and healing and help.
Cool.
Love doesn't even care what you're upset about or the form of the thing that caused your pain, because love knows that a child of God hurting at all just is not supposed to be, and it gets rid of the pain. It doesn't care what's causing it, because there is no cause of the pain that could justify it, so I don't need to know what you're upset about. I just know you deserve to have peace. See, we have to introduce thoughts that are that loving so that we can start letting those thoughts manifest. A thought has to be introduced and then repeated before your mind will start to accept it. And that's why I say things that I know sometimes is difficult to believe, because that's called the introduction of a new way of thinking, is hearing something that you don't believe, because it's so different means you're hearing a new thought. And at some point, it has to be introduced. And the hardest thing is introducing new thoughts to minds, because their first instinct is, if it's radically different from what they already believe is true, is to not believe it. But that can't affect me, because my job is to be a thought introducer. That's what I get paid for by God. To tell you things that are so loving that it doesn't matter whether you believe it or not, but it's important that somebody says it to you for the first time.
Yeah.
So it can be introduced into your mind, because when it's introduced into your mind, it's like a seed being planted in the ground, and you nurture it through repeating it, and all of a sudden it will create a reality that's everything you've ever dreamed of, just from the thoughts that we are introduced to today.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. And the fun of it is going to be your seeing an unexpected ways, the way this beautiful thought is going to manifest itself in your life in terms of the circumstances and events that thrill you, that you didn't expect, that were beyond anything you could imagine, because you didn't think of it. And you're going to enjoy what you're receiving so much that you're going to want to move further and further toward the thing that gave you the thing that you enjoy. You're going to enjoy it so much that you're going to move toward the thing that gave you the thing you enjoy. So the truth will become more and more appealing, and hurting yourself and judging yourself and criticizing yourself will become less and less appealing to you naturally. And before you know it, one day you don't even have time for those thoughts anymore. You see them as petty distractions, like a little mosquito. Oh, my, a thought that I'm not totally cool with. It's a mosquito thought.
Uh-huh.
Okay. But right now, on this side of the bridge, it's like one of the movies. They're tackling a giant mosquito. Y'all know what I'm saying? Right now, the mosquito is big, isn't it? Yeah. But it's still a mosquito. I thought that was funny a few summers ago when they were talking about this mosquito thing. What they call it? The West Nile vibes. You know, and I'm like, well, think about that. The children of God running around scared of mosquitoes.
See, we get the message in a million different ways. Does that mean you're not supposed to take the vaccine? No, if you believe in them, you better take a vaccine. But still, we have to see the final age of the world before we start waking up from it. Mm-hmm. Children of God, unlimited beings that create universes that last forever, running around going, it's funny. It's funny. If you don't love me, I can never be loved. If you don't love me, I can never be loved. You're the only one that can love me. Therefore, I can never let you go because you're the only one that can love me. And I want you to love me more than anybody. I need your love so much. And the only problem I'm having with it is you don't want to give it to me and you have a restraining order out on me. But I know you are my soulmate. That's why you can't just shoot me. That's why we fight all the time, because we're soulmates. Anybody recognize that? Anybody ever wanted somebody because they rejected them? The one who was rejecting you was the one that you wanted the most. Think about it.
Why?
Mm-hmm.
Why?
Because you're a mosquito.
See, I must love to get in this class. You come to my class and the people tell you, what did you hear in Earl Curtis' class? Well, I'm a mosquito. Now it all makes sense. All of a sudden, it all makes sense now.
Boy, you might get slapped around.
Yeah, man. So the real blessing is that we have each other, which means we can water that seed of all the thoughts of what we heard that we deserve today by continuing to come together and focusing on these thoughts together. And our belief in them is not necessary because we know that at the beginning we just need the thought introduced and nurtured. Last sentence. For reality is one with the Father and the Son. Reality is one with you and your Creator. And the Holy Spirit blesses the real world in their name. That means your loving right mind blesses the real world of love in your name. So your right mind is always blessing, right? And we heard that if you bless something, it's the same as appreciating something, and that increases it. So every time I appreciate something, it increases in my life. Every time I bless something, it increases in my life. And my right mind only blesses. My spiritual mind doesn't know anything else but blessing. And here's the cool part. It's blessing your life even while you are condemning your life. It's blessing your life even while you're judging your life. Your life is being blessed even while you are asleep and undressed. So your greatest spiritual healings come when you are asleep, simply because your mind is quiet. It's the one time you're not interfering with your happiness the most. And Spirit told me I want to tell you to thank you for your sleep. So you just acknowledge yourself for hearing this much of me. If I needed to hear this, woo! Hey, we're going through a really deep section if you haven't noticed. And I will acknowledge you for staying any level of conscious that you're able to do. Because it's really loving. And it's always a test to deal with the loving stuff. Thank you for sharing with me. I'd like you to hear me. Thank you for sharing with me. Hear someone appreciate you right now. I appreciate you. Thank you. Thank you for sharing. I love to share with you. I love to share with you. And so there is a little prayer I want to say during the love offering. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God. Lesson 15. I am sustained by the love of God. I am
sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love of God. I am sustained by the love. And the other one is, I bless the world because I bless myself. I bless the world because I bless myself. Thank you. I bless the world because I bless myself. I bless the world because I bless myself. I bless the world because I bless myself. I bless the world because I bless. And another one is, I am entitled to miracles. Say it for yourself, I am entitled to miracles. Claim it for yourself, I am entitled to miracles. Claim it for yourself, I am entitled to miracles. I am entitled to miracles. Water the seed, I am entitled to miracles. Water the seed, I am entitled to miracles. I am entitled. Now say it for everyone else by going, you are entitled to miracles. Be a witness for others. You are entitled to miracles. Be a witness for others. You are entitled to miracles. Now think about some family, some friends, some acquaintance that need a blessing and go, you are entitled to miracles. Want it for them, you are entitled to miracles. You are entitled to miracles. Yeah, just extend some loving thoughts to the people that you love that are going through some challenges in their sleep right now. You know who I'm talking about. You know who I'm talking about. Claim it for them. Claim it for them. Claim it for them. Tell them. Tell them one more time, the people that you love, that you're making real. Tell them one more time. Let them know and tell them you are entitled to miracles. 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 Don't you feel better about yourself when you do that?
Yes.
See, look at just what it said. It said your perception of your value increases as you extend loving thoughts outward. Everything I'm saying, what I love about the course, is everything it teaches is in real time. The whole book is in real time. It's like all that stuff about, is this true? Of course it's true. It's what we're living. Everything it says is right in front of our face, like me forgetting and her remembering. Us repeating that we wanted blessings for somebody else's inheritance, yeah, it does make you feel better when you want something good for somebody. It's like it's real time, and that blows the ego, because the ego is about the past and the future. The minute you stop talking about the future and the past, you lose the ego mind immediately, because it doesn't know how to ever enjoy a moment that's actually happening. It only knows, a fearful mind only knows how to use the present moment to imagine something that's missing in the future or the past, or maybe missing in the future or the past. That's all a fearful mind can never see the love that's in front of his face. Because it's blind. Just like he said at the very beginning, correction is for all who cannot see. Who needs correction? The person that can't see. Why? Because they are asleep. What do you mean they are asleep? They're only thinking about the past, or they're only thinking about the future, and they believe they are alone. They are asleep. But what they need to know is that there's another part of themselves that's not asleep, that is still giving the love, that is creating abundance for you, and it's being stored up for you until you reach the point that you can see again and see all of your blessings right in front of your face.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right, I'll see y'all next time.
Thank you.
Don't forget, 12 noon Wednesday, 7 p.m. Thursday. We got a prosperity class at 7 p.m. on Wednesday nights. The daily teachers. Clubs are available, and copies of the class are also available. I appreciate you again.